I want to begin this homily with two different instances, and one of them you might be inclined to clap, and I'm going to ask you not to do that. Okay? It's a promise. So, last week I got news that my doctoral dissertation has been accepted for publication. Now, as soon as I got the news, I immediately told my friends, called my parents, let them know. And it took me just a little while to recognize that I'm behaving in a way that is quite uncharacteristic of me. Normally, I would have first come running to the Blessed Sacrament, and I would have spent some time in gratitude before celebrating it with family and friends. That's typical of me. So when I look back, it was as if an honest realization of how vulnerable I am. It's easy for me to sometimes get full of myself and think of myself apart from God. First instance. Secondly, during the last 2 weeks, we've had this gathering in the evening called IC 2020. A vision for the future, and we talked about our parish finances. And one of the realizations that people had during these sessions, especially when we spoke about the spirituality of finances, is that there are very few things that are very personal to human beings. One of them is money. And because it is very personal, it is not the easiest thing to put our finances into God's hands. Because when we do that, there is a sense that we are losing control. And yet, if we want our lives to be in the hands of God completely, then we must find those things that are very personal to us. And there are other things apart from finances, things that are very personal to us, and be able to put it into God's hands. All we have, everything that we can accomplish, is God's gift to us in the first place. But sometimes as human beings, as I said, we are vulnerable. Our successes, things that are personal to us, we struggle to lay it completely into God's hands. Let me connect these two instances to today's readings. On the periphery, today's first reading and the gospel reading may seem completely disconnected. In fact, I struggle to find a common theme between these readings. So we have to look a little deep, in fact, very deep, to find the connection between the two. What's the first reading talking about? It's talking about this Persian king Cyrus. He defeated the Babylonians. And the Babylonians had defeated Judah and taken the people of Israel from Judah into exile in Babylon. When Cyrus defeated the Babylonians, one of the first things he did was to send the people of Israel back to Jerusalem. Isaiah reflects upon the event, but I want you to hear how he reflects upon the event. Isaiah calls Cyrus God's anointed one. Cyrus is not a Hebrew king. Cyrus is not even one who has made a covenant with God. Yet, He's the only king, a non-Hebrew king, who's called anointed by God. And hear what God says to him. He says, I have called you by name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. Even if Cyrus does not know God, somehow Cyrus is accomplishing God's word unknowingly. So the impression we get is of a God who directs history. There might be people in authority. There are people who are kings and rulers, but ultimately it's God who directs human history. And it is here that we find our connection to the gospel reading. Caesar may be the Roman emperor, and what is due to him may be his petty little coin. Give it to him, Jesus says. If that's what Caesar wants, give it to him. But the human person, human life, human history, human destiny, that belongs to God. So give to God what belongs to God, which includes everything, including Caesar. In the strangest way, somehow the Roman Empire will be responsible for the death of Jesus. But even Pontius Pilate or Caesar would not know that they are actually fulfilling God's plan of salvation. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but the rest of it, give to God. So here are my 3 points for today. Just for a moment, I want us to consider the totality of our human existence. So think of yourself as a person. I'm Satish, there's Tim, there's Ryan, there's Josh, here's Mark, there's Kathy, yeah, each one of us. And then there is an extension of us, our families, our work, right? So Tim, his wife sitting there with his baby, extensions of Tim, and Jessica, extensions of herself. So I want you to consider the totality of our existence. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, our activities and our leisure, every breath we take, every move we make, all belongs to God. It is God who directs human history. And the totality of our existence, this family, work, people that we are, it is a gift from God. Now, this is not the first time you've heard this, right? I'm not preaching anything revolutionary. But try to put that into practice in daily life. That becomes hard. Here is an exercise for you this week. Become aware of something that's very personal to you, very personal. For example, finances, sexuality, your family, even your career. What does it mean for you to put it completely in God's hands? In other words, would you be ready to allow God to direct how you spend your money? Try it, it's very hard. How could you constantly guard the sanctity of the gift of sexuality? It's very personal to you. How can I guard the sanctity of God's gift of sexuality? Or, what would it mean to use your career to give glory to God? Your family. What does it mean to strive to make the family a domestic church? These are very personal questions. If everything we have belonged to God, then we must give it to God, right? My second point. For a moment, I want to talk about the coin and the image of Caesar upon it. Now, as Caesar did, it's very important or it's possible for us to create things and put our name on it, right? So, for example, famous paintings. Picasso. I don't know if you know the story of Picasso. He said once, "God is just like me, another painter. I am God. I am God. I am God." This is Picasso. We can take something we create and put our image on it. So my dissertation, it says there, Father Satish Joseph, and I have a copyright. Nobody can take my material and copy it because my imprint is on it. But the human person, every human life, whose image is upon every human person? Nobody else but God. Now, once again, this is not the first time you hear something about it, and yet, how often we want our image imprinted upon us. This is what happened with my example of the dissertation. I heard it's being published, and I suddenly rejoiced. This is my work. It's my imprint upon myself. There is a word for it. It's called egoism. There are other examples of egoism. Prolonged resentment, hatred, anger, unforgiveness is caused by the inflated self-image rather than recognizing the image of God upon us. Or how often we let wealth dictate our lives. Sometimes when we evaluate people, we evaluate them by how much wealth they have. That's how society does it. Or, for example, pleasure. For our people, pleasure is the ultimate paradigm that they live by. We begin to objectify people, exploit them, lust after them for our own selfish pleasure. In other words, folks, this is what I'm saying. It is easy to substitute the imprint of God upon us with other imprints. It's possible for us to live our lives as if we are not in the image and likeness of God. So please evaluate your lives this week. And I hope that God's image in which you are created is intact, is untainted. Because each one of us only has the image of God upon us. And my third point. The beginning of today's gospel reading is very revealing to me. I don't know if you heard that carefully or not. This question that was asked of Jesus, whether it's appropriate to pay census tax, there were many questions behind the question. It was an act of treachery. People were trying to trap Jesus through his speech. And when I read that, my instinctive reaction is anger. How dare people try to trap Jesus in his speech through pure manipulation, plotting, and craftiness? The Pharisees did that. I call it the objectification of the human person. The other person is an object. I can manipulate you. I can do what I want with you through my words, through my actions. And you might think we don't do this. But it happens at work. It happens in families. It happens in politics. Are you aware of all the conversation going on right now? We manipulate people's speeches through the news so that we can get our opinions passed. It even happens in church. There is always the danger to make other people pawns in our own scheming. Simple things, gossiping about people. What is gossiping? Manipulating the conversation. Maligning people's names. Sometimes hating them, even destroying them. In all these circumstances, it is the image of God imprinted on other people that we put at risk. So here's what I'm going to say. To give to God what is due to God is to give each human person the dignity that is due to them. In the womb or outside. Give every human person the dignity that is due to them. And to give each human person the dignity they deserve is to honor God in God's creation. I hope we are not like the Pharisees, that we don't objectify people at work, in families, or anywhere else in society. That we may give God and the human person what God intends we give. Otherwise, we may find ourselves judging the very God who created us. Here's my conclusion. So in a very few moments, we're going to bring bread and wine. And why bread and wine at the Eucharist? Because the bread and wine symbolizes all of creation, the rain, the water, the earth, the soil that gave us the bread, and the human labor that goes to make the bread, a piece of bread to be put on the altar, and the wine. Basically, what are we saying? God, we bring all of life, everything you've given us, creation, human labor, and its fruits, we bring it all, God, and we place it into your hands. As God transforms this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, I pray may God transform our lives. May we truly be the image of God in which God has created us. May our lives be holy in its totality. May we place all our lives, personal and everything else, into the hands of God who's given it to us in the first place. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and let's give to God what belongs to God. And the people of God said,